ESPN College Football Podcast, hosted by Joey Galloway, Booger McFarland, and Kevin Agande.
Welcome to the ESPN College Football Podcast. It is Thursday, January 13th. We've had a few days to process what we saw Monday night in Indianapolis. We've got a fun pod coming your way with Booger McFarland and Joey Galloway to get their thoughts. Also want to let our listeners know this is the last of the multiple podcast format that we're doing during the week as we go down to one podcast a week in the off season. Of course, we'll bring back the multiple podcast broadcasts when the season starts next year. But once again, we're going to go down to one podcast a week starting next week. Also, shout out to David Pollock and congratulations on the dog finally getting his championship. 41 years for Georgia. And Pollock, you're going to enjoy this podcast because we're going to call out Booger McFarland a little bit on his criticism of Stetson Bennett. I'm going to give Stetson Bennett just due props, but we're also going to talk about the future of Stetson Bennett and Georgia and what this win means now for Kirby Smart. And what was the difference in the game? Shout out to the defense and the playmakers as well, because clearly it was a group effort in a phenomenal fourth quarter. So Pollock, you deserve all the love and Stetson deserves his flowers. Before we get started, two things I want to mention. First, listen to SV Pod with Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve. This week, Scott and Steve are wrapping up the championship game and previewing wildcard weekend in the NFL. And I'm sure there's going to be a little dad talk sprinkled in. Plus, they'll tell you what they hate this week. Follow SV Pod wherever you listen to your podcast. And watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. Or listen to the show as a podcast. Enjoy Joey and Booger us chopping things up and what we saw on the national championship Monday night. All right, it's good to have a recap of what we saw over Monday night in Indy with Booger McFarland and Joey Galloway back together. And we're doing this on Zoom. So the scene set is, you know, I'm in Connecticut. Indoors, Joey's in Ohio, indoors, and our guy Booger McFarland setting things up with a bunch of palm trees behind him in Tampa, just to rub it in that he's in 70 degree weather as we are freezing our butts off, Joey. It's a good way to start the podcast.
That's not a surprise out of Boog, but that's fine, Boog, because me and Kev are coming down to your house. We're going to be hanging out in your backyard. We don't care if you're home. Nope. We're going to be sending you pictures of the palm trees in your backyard.
Joey, I'm bringing the kids and we're squatting. We ain't leaving, man. We're not leaving. We're coming down and we're not leaving, folks. So get ready.
Hey, listen, here's the thing I'll say. Both of you guys made the choice to be where it's snow. Fortunately for me, I made a choice to be where it's warm, sunshine, and no state taxes. So don't hate. That's all I'll say.
That's fine. We'll be down.
We will. You'll get sick of us, good, too. Good. There's no doubt about it.
Come on. Hey, just an FYI, Kev, when you come, so you see that little green thing back there? That's the putting green, FYI.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. All right? You got an extra putter for me to use?
Kev, let's just stick to one thing at a time. Let's get dressed in golf attire first. Yes. Then we'll move to actually the clubs.
Look, attire. Oh, no. I'm not worried about it.
Hold on. And let's learn what a hole-in-one is, Joey.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, hole-in-ones happen on par threes.
Got it. That's where you get an ace, right? Well, yeah. Georgia feeling like they got a hole-in-one on a par four after what they pulled off, especially in the fourth quarter. Before we get to, like, how you guys saw the game, I just want to get your reaction. Did you think it was a fumble? That Stetson Bennett play, was that a fumble in your mind? Let's start with you, Joey.
Yes. And now, I didn't think it was a fumble in real time. And when they called fumble, and we all looked around like, what? Like, we were expecting, like, an intentional grounding or something like that. And they said fumble, recovered by Alabama. And the entire stadium kind of went like, what? So once you look at it in slow motion, by letter of the rule, the ball is moving in his hand before it comes forward. So by letter of the rule, it's a fumble.
As far as whether the play was a fumble or not, I know Joey was there in person. I was actually watching it on television. First of all, I did not think it was a fumble. Secondly, I also didn't think it was a recovery because the DB just lackadaisically grabbed the football and only, I mean, by like an inch, his toe was in. So I thought that was going to be the play of the game, Kev. But here's the deal. That's where I think Georgia actually won the game, because it was at that moment that they could have said, oh, no, here we go again. But after Alabama scored the touchdown, they buckled down. Stetson Bennett came back. More importantly, Ty Monken came back, called three or four straight passes. And I thought Stetson really got a break when Bama jumped offside. So it gave him a free play to throw the I'm not going to say it's a Hail Mary, but to basically throw the goal ball. And I thought that was the moment that Georgia actually won. They said, no, we're not going to fall into this same trap again. Tonight is our night. This is our time. And that moment, that course of 3 or 4 minutes, I thought changed the whole game.
That's why I started the podcast conversation there, because it could have been a make or break situation mentally for Stetson Bennett, right? After committing that turnover, Brian Branch casually getting the ball, Bama punches it in, and the whole concept of Stetson Bennett trying to do too much changed. And it felt like, guys, Todd Monken decided, I'm going to start to run the ball effectively. And he was letting loose. And that go route, like you're talking about, the go ball, A.D. Mitchell made a phenomenal play. And, Joe, if you want to weigh in on how he made that adjustment too, it felt like that big play right there, Georgia could, like, let a sigh of relief, because that defense was fantastic most of the night.
See, it's interesting when you're sitting at home on TV versus being in the arena, because – the moment where I felt like the game turned wasn't on the turnover. Now, of course, Bama could have put it away at that moment, and Georgia did. They made a comeback. But it felt like the moment to me was the blocked field goal and then the big run after Bama comes off the 3-yard line. They're driving it down methodically, running the ball, quick passes. They get down. The dropped pass
by Hall, yes,
it, down in the corner, and sets up a long field goal. Georgia gets the block, and then they pop the big run to get down in red. To me, that felt like the moment when this game was like, all right, Georgia's sort of like, we can run the ball, we can Hall, be more physical.
If Hall makes that catch, it's 16-6.
Yeah,
and it changes everything on how Georgia wants to approach the game.
Yes.
What Bama does on the defensive side, right, Joe?
Absolutely. It's a different ball game. I will give Alabama credit for losing Jameson Williams and having to go to a different offensive game plan. Now all of a sudden they don't have a guy to go downfield. Now it's like these 10, 12 play drives you're trying to put together against a Georgia defense, which is tough to do. But in that little stretch right there, it felt like that was when Georgia said, hey, look, we're late in this game. We got them where we want them. Let's put them away.
Speaking of losing Jameson Williams, it's amazing to me that they lose two receivers. And I get it. They're 2,000-yard receivers, Williams and Mechie. And the offense just looks bad. Like, we always give Alabama so much credit. Hey, Nick Saban, he recruits better than anybody. 5-star after 5-star after 5-star. Joey, you know better than I do playing the receiver position. I was so surprised that the guys that came in, because they played all, even though they're freshmen, they've been through a whole season. I was so surprised that those guys were not up for the moment. Like, the moment looked too big for all those young guys, whether it was Hall or Brooks or Holden. Like, those guys look like, man, we're on the big stage. Even though we're a 5-star, we can't get it done now.
That stage, I believe, is different because you're going against Georgia's defense. Like, you're not going against LSU in this situation. You're not going against Temple. You're going against a Georgia defense that is a historic defense. Now, like we just talked about, there is one play that had the chance to change this game, and it was the play that Kev just talked about, the drop ball in the corner. Beautifully thrown ball that gives Bama a chance to go up by 2 scores. I don't want to say that it's easy to step into that moment, but you're right. And I think Alabama expects those young guys to be able to step into that moment because that's what they're made of. That's why they're at Alabama. It didn't look good. Every throw was contested. You know what I mean? Like that's a tough defense, a tough moment to step into. They didn't do it very well, and it changed the game. I agree with you. You would expect that Alabama at Ohio State, at Clemson, at LSU, at Georgia, that you have those five-star kids that step into those moments. It became too much with Alabama having their two corners out, now having their two top receivers out. It eventually became too much.
Let's also talk another storyline that we didn't see in Atlanta was the pressure that Georgia's defense applied. I mean, scene was all over the place. Nolan Smith, Dean Wyatt, and Jordan Davis, they pressured Bryce Young, something that we didn't see in Atlanta, where, you know, Bryce had all the time that he could slide around. Like, when you have four sacks compared to none in the first meeting and then you have two picks, I just thought the Georgia approach was completely different. There was a sense of urgency from the get-go instead of saying we're going to lay back, let's go a little man-to-man coverage. And it felt like that type of vibe and energy completely changed how Bryce Young was approaching the game, too. I mean, when you don't have Jameson Williams, that plays a role as well, and Metchie, because those two guys torched Georgia's secondary in the first game. You don't have those options, and you're rushing. The timing plays a role here, too, right, Book?
Well, first of all, Kev, good job reading every player on the Georgia defense going
because
down the
road. Because they're all top five. Top 50 recruits were superstars. Kev. I mean, they were fantastic.
Kev, you didn't need to read the entire two deep on defense. We saw the game, okay? That's number one. Number two, it was a great game plan by Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart. And we talked about this. You, Joey, and I talked about why don't they just go back and watch A&M, go back and watch Auburn and LSU and watch how those defenses attacked Alabama. LSU, A&M, and Auburn aren't more talented than the Alabama offensive line, but what they did is they attacked the protection. Notice how they pressured Bryce Young. It wasn't because they were having great one-on-one pass rushes. It was because they had defenders running scot-free. That means that the coaching staff out-schemed Bill O'Brien. Anytime you get guys that are running scot-free, nobody's accounting for them, that's on the coaching. Now, if you beat a one-on-one block, that's on the player. I thought it was a great job schematically of Lanning and Kirby Smart changing and going back and saying, you know what? We're not just going to come up with these useless blitzes and say our guys are better than their guys. We're going to schematically outcoach Saban and Bill O'Brien, and that's why they got pressure in the game.
That was a different level of defense played in that game. And it's interesting. We always get to the end and we get to the playoff and we try to get the four best teams. And then we hope that the two best teams are playing for the championship on a Monday night. That was a different level on both sides of the ball of defense than we've seen anywhere else in the country this season. Georgia's defense has been outstanding all season long. And Alabama's defense, even without two starting corners, when you think about Dallas Turner, that freshman defensive end, and what they're going to have, and Will Anderson on the other side, like watching that game, I kept thinking to myself, there is a separation between these two teams and the rest of the country that is widening right now. Before, it was you come into a season, you automatically know there's going to be Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, possibly an LSU when they put things together. Oklahoma will be a team that will be sniffing around that top five. Those teams will be the ones that at the end we'll be talking about. These are the best teams. What I saw Monday night is a gap between those two and the rest of the country. It's going to be interesting to see if teams like Clemson, teams like Ohio State, teams like LSU can get back in that ball game, because if they don't, we'll be watching Georgia, Alabama play for national championships for the next few years.
How can you say that the gap is so wide when we saw Alabama in so many competitive games this year against LSU, Auburn, A&M? We saw Georgia in competitive games, especially early in the season, where Clemson, if DJ Uiagalelei had any sense of how to throw the football, Clemson beats them. And we saw how Clemson's season turned out. So how can you say that the gap between those two teams is so wide from the rest of the country?
We saw Georgia in one competitive game. That's early on, first game of the season against the Clemson team. And so what I'm saying is Monday night, and I've said this before, when Bama brings their A game, they're different than other teams in the country. Except Monday night, of course, they're injured, they're banged up, not there. So what I watched Monday night, the level of play that was happening on that field between Georgia and Alabama, I don't know what other team in this country you see that is matching that. I don't know, like, you know as well as I do, when you talk about a regular season, and this is at all levels of football, you're going to have close games. That's just how it works out. When the chips are down, you know this is how it works. When you get to the playoffs, all teams are different. Like, the teams we'll see play this week in the NFL will be different than the team we've seen play all season long. It'll be a different level of football. So when you get to playoff level football and it's time, all the chips on the table, I don't see what other team you see in this country that would have been able to compete in that game Monday night.
Honestly, this comes down to, we say this all the time, and we see it at Ohio State, we see it at LSU. It comes down to recruiting, right? And the classes that you can develop and stack up, and we've seen that with Kirby over the last 3 years. Two number ones and a number two recruiting class, and eventually you're going to have four- and five-star depth that we see at Alabama, even though Alabama's lost eight guys, I think, inside the top 40 in last year's draft, where they could still be there in the conversation. They don't have the depth like we saw, especially with the experience of the wide receiver position, because you're giving all that time to Mechie and Williams. But over time, I mean, shoot, Hall dropped that ball. Hall's going to be a phenomenal player in Tuscaloosa over the next couple of years, the wide receiver development that they have. And let's not forget, we said this going into the game, Alabama had the two best players in the country. By the way, Will Anderson and Bryce Young are coming back. They're not going to the next level. So you can just continue to replenish. Ringo is a freshman who made the interception. Bowers is the freshman who had the touchdown catch for Georgia. Like, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing these classes come together and build that Kirby's doing over time. That's in the same conversation with Saban. And, you know, Jimbo's doing the same thing at A&M. And you brought up A&M giving him the business because A&M has the talent. He's just getting over the top. Calzada gets hurt. That changes the rest of the season and the approach. So I think that when you look at the talent on the field and the execution of what Joey's saying on Monday night, it's hard to top what they're going to do. Now, I will say, if Ohio State made the big dance and didn't lose to Michigan, I would have been really curious to see how Ohio State stacked up with that wide receiver room and C.J. Stroud and what they could have done against these two teams.
The downfall for Ohio State would have been their defense, though. That's what it was all season long. The defensive side wasn't playing at the same level as the offensive side. And so if you watched the Michigan-Ohio State game, what Michigan did to Ohio State, and then what Georgia did to Michigan, it looks like there is a difference in level of play. But I agree with you, Kevin. It'd very interesting to see. Now, it would have been a different level of pressure coming at C.J. Stroud after watching what those two teams did. But it'd been interesting to see.
Georgia had the most talented team all year long. They had the more talented team than Atlanta. But the guy who touches the ball every play is not up to par consistently with the talent on the team. That's the quarterback. So I just wonder, where does Georgia go next year from a quarterback standpoint? Are we going to continue to get subpar quarterback play? That's number one. I agree with you with Ohio State. They bring the defensive coordinator from Oklahoma State to Ohio State. So you think the defense from a scheme standpoint will be better. We'll see where they go. I think the overall depth around the country, I think in 2 years, I think you're going to have a group of, quote unquote, I don't mean to say it this way, like a group of five. I think it's going to be Alabama, Georgia. I think USC comes back with Lincoln Riley. That talent on the West Coast is going to be outstanding. I think they come back. And then, you know, whether it's Notre Dame, I love what Marcus Freeman is doing with Notre Dame. Clemson will be still there, in my opinion. I think those five teams right now have the momentum to separate themselves moving forward.
Wait a minute. Where's the DEFCON 1 thing that you guys do? DEFCON 1. I didn't hear. Did you say LSU? I didn't hear.
If you would have listened, I said right now. We'll be back in a year or two. I'm speaking of right now.
You said in a couple years. You started your statement with in the next couple years.
Well, this is the way I see it right now. Obviously, Taylor, we'll be back.
Taylor, do you have the DEFCON 1?
Oh, Y'all are hilarious. This is what I say to y'all.
Well, let's get the one thing. We've heard everybody talk about it all week, and that is Stetson Bennett's play. I started the podcast here with that fumble. He was a different player after that fumble. Like, hey, completely different player.
Are you still not willing to give Stetson Bennett
I want to ask. I want to ask Booger specifically about that.
Yes, please.
As Booger is talking to the help around his house, I want to ask Booger specifically because Booger, you and I and Booger talked about this extensively last week.
Yes,
when we were in Miami, and he said the difference is quarterback. Right, the gap at quarterback with Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett was so big that that's why he was favoring Alabama when you look at the entire roster of both teams.
And right. Stetson Bennett should be on the bench. Don't leave that out. Take him out. And I said, Stetson Bennett has played quarterback well enough to win. And Bo's like, no, he should be benched, bring in JT Daniels, blah, blah, blah. Well, and you still won't give this man his credit.
Okay. So Bo, what's your response to all that and what you saw from Stetson Bennett, specifically in the fourth quarter after the fumble?
Well, first of all, I never said he should be benched. I just like Kirby's got to answer the question. That's number one. Number two, I'll continue to say this. Georgia always had the better team. Alabama had the better quarterback. And the only way Georgia could win is they had to make this game not about the quarterback. And if you watch the flow of this game early on was about Georgia's defense. And Stetson Bennett and the running game, the running game came through in the second half. And Stetson Bennett made about three or four throws after the fumble. One of them was on a free play, quote unquote. So I'm going to give him credit for in the moment, that kind of 2 or 3 minute stretch in the moment, he was outstanding. But this game was not won because of Stetson Bennett. This game was won because Georgia finally ran the football against Alabama, and Georgia's defense finally played like the quote unquote generational defense. So all credit to the Dawgs, but let's not get it twisted. Like Stetson Bennett came out and looked like DJU against Notre Dame a couple years ago, because that wasn't the case.
We didn't say that.
Shame on you, Boog. No. Shame on you. Number one, and Kev, you witnessed this. When we're sitting there, and Boog's like, he had his two shots. He had his two chances. He's not the answer. They got to go with somebody else. Now, hey, Boog, you don't have to sit there and try to give him a backhanded, somewhat almost compliment with he made a couple throws, but he wasn't the reason. Hey, look, Boog, nobody said that he was – Tom Brady. What we said was he played well enough to win a national championship.
He did.
Monday night. He did what he had to do. He made his throws. And now me and Kev would like an apology.
You and Kev. Oh, wow.
We would also like to help you apologize to Stetson Bennett, because clearly you're having problems. The heat is getting to you. You can't just admit, hey, Stetson, I was wrong. You played well Monday night. Congratulations. That's what we'd like to hear you say.
Okay. Stetson, I was wrong. You were able to be the quarterback on the team that won the national championship. I was wrong.
By the way, that's not an apology.
What do you mean? I said it.
I can tell you one thing about Stetson Bennett in this whole game that was apparent. The mobility played a huge role, because when you got Will Anderson coming in and crashing on the side,
now Stetson Bennett is Michael Vick all of a sudden.
JT Daniels could not have done that. And you could see that there were a couple of moments that they were like, he's got to run a little bit. He's going to be on purpose now running the ball. If he doesn't see anybody open, he feels the pressure. That's the one thing that stood out to me about JT Daniels. If he was in that game, which you were looking at, hey, if Bennett's not going to get, do you get the hook? JT Daniels is going to be a statue in that pocket. Stetson can move a little bit.
So now Stetson Bennett has turned to Michael Vick. By the time we get
that. Never said that. Hey, Joey, I said he can move a little bit. Hey, never said that, Boog. You know that.
By the time we get to next year, Stetson Bennett will be the best dual threat quarterback in America. So
you turn it all around. But then let's advance the story.
This is what Boog does. See, he won't let us give Stetson any credit, because if we do, it's like, oh, now he's Michael Vick.
Exactly. Nobody said that. Nobody.
And you know better, Boog.
Just saying, man. That's all I'm doing. I'm just saying.
But there's another storyline here, because he can come back for another season. And what are you doing if you're Kirby? Are you going to bring him back? He said this yesterday on GMA and probably on No Sleep and, you know, with some cocktails in him. I'm going to play football this year. We'll see where. We'll see if I can trust the decisions made by the staff, and we'll see where I'm going to play. And let's not forget the depth at Georgia specifically. They went out and they've got some five-star talent at quarterback that they brought in. Gunnar Stockton, phenomenal name. Brock Vandergriff as well, that are on the depth chart here. What would you do if you're Kirby and you've got to look at this where you believed in this quarterback, you never wavered when you made your decision, no matter what he looked like in Atlanta, and would you stick with Stetson Bennett as your quarterback, or would you look at the you know, the depth chart here for next season?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking you, because we're not going to get a real good answer from Boog on this.
Hey, man, Boog wouldn't have let Stetson on the bus after the game. Boog would have been like, Stetson, you're benched after the game, Kev. It was great. You're out of here. Here's what I do. And I know this sounds cliche.
Don't say it then.
Well, there's no other way to put it. Okay. You basically go into winter, spring, summer with a wide open quarterback competition. Now, they always say that, you know what I mean? Like, the Buccaneers will go in and be like, hey, it's wide open. You know what I mean? But we know Tom Brady's your quarterback. Think of Georgia, you literally go in wide open. And if one of these young kids can come in and take that job, now, the one thing that they're not going to have is they're not going to have the experience in the huddle, in the big game situations. And Boogie, you know this as well as I do. You have guys that gravitate toward their leader, toward their quarterback, whoever that guy is. It'll be interesting, because that connection will now be made with Stetson Bennett, and all those guys around him that are coming back will gravitate towards Stetson Bennett. So if one of those young kids can come in and break that up and take that over, we'll have to see that happen. But Boog, you want what he wants. He's already packed up his locker.
He's in the transfer portal, according to Boog.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting that here's a national championship winning quarterback who Todd Monken and Kirby Smart has supported. And Todd Monken came out and said he gives us the best chance to win. And when you ask that question, he phrased it, I'll play football somewhere. So in his mind, he already knows the writing is on the wall. So if he knows it, then why am I going to say he's coming back? Because I've never, like, Bryce Young is not saying that. Bryce Young is not saying, hey, we'll see where I'm going to play. Like, we know Bryce Young is going to be the quarterback at Alabama. Stetson Bennett already knows the writing is on the wall. It's a good story. I'm not saying he's going to be delivering mail next year or working for FedEx. What I am saying is he knows that the likelihood of him being the starting quarterback at Georgia is not good based on his answer, not mine.
Hey, boy, shame on you, man. Shame on you.
You can't even give him his flowers for 48 hours.
We know what you're doing, Boog.
He didn't give his own flowers.
We know what you're doing. Why would you say that? Why would you bring up a job outside of football? Nobody said that but you.
I'm not even going to say anything.
Boog is gone. Boog has gone to the extreme. He's brought up Michael Vick in the Stetson Bennett conversation, and he's brought up the FedEx guy. Like, come on, Boog. Like, sit somewhere in between. He's also a national championship quarterback who led them to a win. And obviously, the playmakers played a huge role in this game. But, you know, credit to what Georgia did. Now, with this, let's advance the conversation even more now with the coaches. Does this open the door now? I mean, what does a win like this do now for Kirby Smart? Because it felt like he checked every single box but the final two. That is beating Saban and winning a national championship. Does this change things now for Georgia the rest of the way for him moving forward? Because he's going to win on the recruiting trail. The SEC East, he's going to be a dominant player in that category. What does this mean now for him title-wise?
I think this changes everything, Kev, from not just from recruiting, because Kirby can recruit because he's young. He can connect with the players. They got Quavo around the program and all that good stuff. But for Kirby's psyche, when he walks in the room, there is no more, yeah, but. Yeah, you get all these recruits, Yeah, but you can't beat Saban. You can't beat Alabama. Now it's a whole new world when it comes to when you walk in the door. Now he's not on the same level as Nick Saban, but you got to put him right there with like it's Kirby, Dabo, and like they're right there on that next level. You know, once you come from GOAT to the next level, it's Kirby and Dabo for guys that have got the pellets on the wall, guy that can say they've been there and done that. And once Nick retires, whenever that is, 10 years from now, it seems like it, then Kirby can ascend to that point. Also, from an NIL standpoint, I think this opens up a different door for Georgia when they go, because it's basically free agency now. Like recruiting has turned into no longer, hey, will you come here and play 4 years and we'll give you a good education? Now, it's can you come here this year? Here's what we can get you from a monetary standpoint, from an NIL. And it's just like when a quarterback, Joey, you know this, when a quarterback wins a Super Bowl, the doors open up in the NFL. Well, when a team and a coach and a program win a national title, I think there's going to be more NIL dollars around Athens and for that program. So, yeah, it can take them to another level, which is scary.
Yeah, but he has to sustain it. He has to continue this. And so in these situations, getting one is getting over the hump, especially beating Alabama. That is getting over a huge hump for Georgia because they've been talented for years now. He's done a terrific job there. And now he needs to stay in that conversation. There can't be a gap or a fall off where, you know what I mean? Like we saw Florida State win one, you know, a few years back.
And LSU. 2 years ago.
So, Kev, I was trying to be nice.
No.
I see how you want to go, Kev. LSU is a team that won one a couple years ago and then fallen off. And then Ogeron out, gone. And so it's something that you have to continue because in today's world, I mean, you people are so impatient.
You people on us.
Yeah. Hey, look, if it's up to me, Ogeron's still at LSU. Like
that's why it's not up to you.
I know. Boog is so impatient that 2 years after winning the national championship, this dude's on the hot seat. I mean, so you have to continue now. If you don't keep going and keep like at that level, Boog will run you out of town. Stetson Bennett got literally 4 minutes to be a national champ before Boog packed his bags and got him up out of there.
I'm not even going to say anything. You know what? For the rest of this podcast, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to refer to him as national champion Stetson Bennett. I'm not even saying anything. He is the best quarterback. He should be the number one pick in the draft. Stetson Bennett, congratulations.
You are the best. Number one pick in the draft.
Why do we got to do that? See, man, hey, Boog. Hey, let me say this, though, before we go get out of here. What I didn't realize, guys, you know, when we do these kind of things and it feels like we're sitting in our living rooms and we're just I didn't realize how many people actually listen to this, like listen to us. Because I'm stuck in Bristol all season long. When we finally get on the road, whether it's down in Miami and Indianapolis, you wouldn't believe how many people were like, man, Kev is
and this is true, yes.
Oh, seriously. No, but all jokes aside, you would think how many people were like, man, I love the podcast. I love how you and Boog always come at Kev. Like, yep. People actually listen to this. So anybody that's listened, like, thank you. Because I didn't realize until I got on the road how many people were like, man, I love listening to you guys. Give it to Kev. And that's why we keep giving it to you, Kev.
We have fun.
So, Taylor, hey, Taylor, make sure you name this podcast Kev's and that's all we need to say. That's it.
You got it.
I'm lucky to work with two with me, so that's the fun part of it. By the way, since everybody's listening, let's add one more thing, and Boog, you'll appreciate this. Joey, according to Taylor, had a 5-game lead in picks in week 9, and I beat his butt. I won at the end. You won the national championship pick, but in the end, my lead was so big, I still beat you, and that's the best part of this offseason.
Go ahead and give Kev a backhanded compliment, Boog, like you gave Stetson Bennett. National champion Stetson Bennett. Give Kev a backhanded compliment, Boog. Tell him he's the best.
Hey, Kev, listen, Kev, great job winning. Maybe you need to get out to a better start next time. Otherwise, you know, maybe your stamina won't be called into question as much. But Kev, let's not ever compare yourself to being able to be a gambler, because nothing in your life says I am a gambler. I'm willing to bet. You are the most conservative, by the book guy that we know. So the fact that you're bragging about winning some type of gambling, just it's the biggest oxymoron I know.
Well, the only thing you think, with all the things you just said to me, that means Joey lost to me. And that makes Joey even worse than me. So I will take all the things you just said. It's how you finish. You finish strong.
And a gamble for you, Kev, a gamble for you is, so should I go with the jet black or the regular black when I dye my hair this week? Yeah. You know what? I'm gambling. I'm going with the jet black.
Yes. Yet at 1,000%, when Kev gets in the mirror, am I going to have a huge part today? Or am I just going to go straight slick back? That's Kev. Like, that's Kev taking a risk. You know what? I'm going to do the comb over. I'm going big part down the mirror. I know my dudes are going to be on me, but I'm going to risk this. I'm going to take a chance and see if I can't be sexy for the 6 o'clock. And I'm
going to title this show, two talking about one hair. That's how we're going to play this show. A lot of fun, you fools. Appreciate it. It's been a great season, and it's a great way to cap it off with both you guys together here on the podcast.
Anytime. Congrats, national champion Stetson Bennett, Kirby Smart. Hey, looking forward to next year, baby, where once again, hopefully Stetson Bennett is the quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Proud of you, Boog.
I appreciate it. DEFCON 1. Out of here. DEFCON 1.
Always a pleasure with Joey and Booger, who, for one guy who's bald and another one who has just gray hair, obsessed with my hair, the moneymaker on TV, always a good time. But the cool thing about the podcast, it gives you an idea of what it's like when we're all together and we are behind the scenes and sometimes on the air, what we're doing and what we're talking about. It's never a dull moment. Also some news, Jameson Williams, torn ACL. We wish the young man luck, projected to be a first round pick, and we will see how it plays out for him, whether he decides to come back and rehab or does he enter the draft. And I'll be curious to see, will he be considered still a first round pick due to the talent and that 4.3 speed. That's it for the podcast in terms of a 5 day a week format. The show will be a once a week podcast after today in the off season. We'll be rotating hosts, guests, and analysts throughout the off season. Should be a lot of fun as we wait for the 2022 season, where many believe Alabama will be number one. Keep an eye on this feed. If you haven't already, please follow the ESPN College Football Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Want to thank all the listeners who've been fantastic with their feedback wherever we go, and enjoying the ribbing we give each other and how much fun we have talking about ball and our everyday lives. And also Taylor Schwenk on the other side, who has kept these podcasts together all season long. He could take a break as well. Thanks for listening. And I wanted to let you guys know, just stay safe in the off season. And until the next time, enjoy the winter.
Guys, welcome in. I'd like to welcome in Kevin the Gandhi to Joe and Boog's podcast. Yeah, welcome in, buddy.
We're going to start at the top here. Let's start at the top. All right. Ready, Taylor?
Yep.
Three, two, one.